All right, it's the top of the hour, so welcome to Primer Time, this time with Dog Cam. That's my dog over there, Feta, for those who don't know, spelled exactly like the Greek cheese. They're just going to be hanging out on the cam there. Lots of people already are aware of Feta, so enjoy Dog Cam. He's not doing much, but he doesn't do much when he's asleep. Between the hours of sort of like 7 p.m. and 10 p.m., he is very active and very annoying, so we go for a walk during those times these days. Because he's just like, I don't really know why, like, but I'm a dog, and I'm going to be dog-like at this time of night. And it's like, I'm trying to chill out. All right, so Froppy Hair Sound, we're good. I'd like one more person to confirm that we have sound. Okay, cool. We've got two moderators. Trust them. Not that I don't trust you, Nokia. It's just, like, you know, two moderators. Yeah! Excellent. Glad to hear it. Alrighty, looks like someone is answering questions in last week's thread. Let me just go ahead and lock that one. There we go. Yeah, sometimes you have to rejoin. I just rejoin at the start of each office hours out of habit now to try and sort that out. So jumping into questions, we have the first question from Yosh is, what's the dog doing? That's going to be evident for the rest of the office hours. Enjoy Dog Cam. Nuki says, what are some tips for optimizing worlds? I'm currently working on a rework of the avatar station, focusing partially on optimizing for when there are a dozen users customizing avatars. Optimizing a world depends on what you want to do in the world, and there's a unique problem with the avatar station and worlds like that, which is the goal of the world is to have a bunch of people developing. So the optimization for that world will probably be a bit different than a world that, for example, wouldn't have development in it, like a game or something like that, like Cloudscape Harvest or whatever, where there aren't necessarily people developing in it. Good things all around to do are to make sure that your collision meshes are good. I hate that no one seems to do this, even though it was my first tutorial video back in the day, and there's now a tutorial video for ResNet on it. So make sure that your collision mesh is set up correctly in initialization collider route, such that people don't fall through the world. Make sure that your full respawn position is set so that people don't fall unnecessarily far through the world. Those are just two basic things. Culling is going to be very important for the avatar station. From memory, the existing avatar station does have quite good culling, which is particularly good when people are working on avatars. And then beyond that, you want to test things in isolation, right? So I would lay down the geometry of the world and no other like effects and stuff. I mean, you know, like plants and walls are fine, etc. But I would try avoid adding any protoflux or any like components to do visual effects or animations. See how the world is performing. Add stuff to it. See how the world is performing. Add the systems that you need in the world. See how the world is performing. It's like an ongoing process that you need to continually do. When it comes to textures, maybe go for 1K rather than 2K if it's an avatar optimization world. If you know ahead of time that you're optimizing for 1K textures, then you can make something that looks really good. Keep the meshes simple as well. Procedural meshes are better for things like floors. Avoid terrain, because terrain has like a lot of collision on it, particularly for like a development world or a building world. You want people on flat ground. You want people on like slopes and shit. I think that's it. Just keep looking at it, really. I'll make a guide on optimizing worlds, maybe on the wiki, and we can like throw stuff in and other people can contribute, and then that might help better. Moving onwards, Zenry says, I found a bug through decompiling assemblies. Is it okay if I reference the decompiled code in the GitHub bug report issue? Yes and no. It really does depend on the issue. We've had a couple of cases in the past where people have been like, this bug's easy to fix. Look, I decompiled it, and here's all you need to change, and it like really isn't the fix for the issue. No hate to the person who's doing this. It's just like literally an example, which is like the headless grab another user that has a tool equipped bug thing. That was like three different bugs, but the decompilation of it made it appear like it was in one area, but it wasn't in another area. We also have people that will occasionally submit bugs that are purely to do with decompilation and not to do with functional problems in the actual engine. So a good example here would be if a bug only shows up because you decompiled it and you're taking a look at the code and you're like, oh, that's weird. Don't submit that, because like you don't even know if the decompilation is accurate. If the bug affects you as a user of Resonite, go ahead and submit it. Ozzy says, can you say how many people have done the survey thus far? No. The survey is a Nextcloud survey. For those who are unaware of like why or whatever, I'm trying to get the team to avoid using Google Docs for like official company stuff. It's an uphill battle, but just for sort of privacy policy and security and all those sorts of like words, it's very important that we keep stuff not on random people's Google accounts. So yeah, you're looking forward to seeing more forms from that neck of the woods. Files.yellowdogman.com is our Nextcloud instance. If you're not familiar with what Nextcloud is, it's like a self-hosted version of Google Docs. At some point, if we have enough money coming in, we'll probably go ahead and get a business subscription to Google Suite or something similar to that, at which point you'll start seeing Google Docs again. But until then, like, no, sorry, we got to use Nextcloud. And Nextcloud doesn't appear to share the results with me. It's only sharing the results with Fruits, which is interesting, but there we go. We'll take a look when June 4th comes around. Chandelak says, was it considered to create OAuth interface for ResNet accounts similar to locking ResNet API for third-party applications? Technically already exists. No one uses it, and it's difficult to set up, and it's difficult for us to set up. It's just like the bare bones are there, like the skeletons are there, and it's used by some folks like obscurely, but it's not sort of open for general consumption right now. If you're interested in that area, you'll need to go ahead and open up a email with the business contact form on yellowdogman.com to take a look at that. We also have SAML support, which is mostly for enterprise businesses, stuff like that. I really need to like figure out the differences between SAML and OAuth. As far as I'm concerned, SAML is just complicated OAuth, so there we go. Moving forwards to Mr. Dab. Mr. Dab says, if the ResNet team works on optimization, then what areas are they going to target? I can't specifically answer that one. So I'm gonna use an analogy again. We are aware that there are performance issues throughout ResNet, and they are all in what, like a drawer. Like think of your junk drawer. Some people have a junk drawer in the kitchen. Sometimes it's in their office or their desk. Sometimes it's in a spare cupboard, etc. Think about your junk drawer. You know all of the items inside the drawer. But you're not quite sure what you need or what's there or who's there, etc., stuff like that. So what you need to do is you need to open up that drawer, probably dump it onto the floor and then sort through it and find out what's there. You know, you need a particular screwdriver or a particular takeout menu. You're going to take a while to go through it. And that's what we're going to be doing with optimization. There are some areas we know for certain that are performance heavy that need fixing, but I don't want to answer specifics because like it gets problematic when people start saying like, oh, but I wanted them to work on that. The idea I want in your guys' head is that we are going to focus on performance and we are going to open up that junk drawer, grab a giant magnifying glass and just look through all of it and figure out what precisely we're going to do. And should that be the result of the survey, we'll give you more updates as we go. Like, I'm sure Fruits will be like, all right, performance. I've done some research this week, and I've decided that the first performance update we're going to be focusing on is cheese, right? And then there'll be a week or so of cheese performance improvement, etc. It's not something we can answer immediately. Exo says, how many things has Fed barked out today? A lot. We had fire alarm testing here, and for those who are unaware or haven't lived in a giant apartment building, the way that they do fire alarm testing is they will are usually like a floor at a time. Sometimes they can do blocks, depends on how the fire alarm system is orchestrated, but the fire alarm will just repeatedly chirp, not like full blout, you know, like a fire's going off. It's just like occasionally it'll just beep, like sort of like once every couple of seconds. And someone from the fire company that, you know, audits the building will enter your apartment and check that both of the fire alarm speakers that are inside my apartment will work. It takes them like 3 seconds, but it's like 3 hours of chirpy, beepy, annoying fire alarms for 3 seconds of someone in my apartment checking that the speakers work. They do work, but Feta doesn't like loud noises, so they were barking at the fire alarm chirping for 3 hours. And they also don't like strangers, so when the stranger come in, him barking at him for 3 hours. It's fine. He's had a busy, busy morning, and now he's chilling out because no one's yelling at him. Earthmark says, to my understanding, the priority poll has a lot to do with Frix's priority. Are your efforts affected by the poll? Do you have your own priority list? I sort of do and don't. I'm unfortunately stuck in the sort of keep the lights on area of development, and have been for basically since October. It's fine, like someone has to do it and I'm capable of doing it, so I do. But that means that my priority is basically just random shit and then stuff behind the scenes that keeps the lights on. And so there we go. Now, I was thinking about it yesterday because I was feeling really unproductive yesterday, and I was just like, hang on a minute. Like Prime. Like, you keep the Nextcloud running, the wiki running, the support desk running. You've got two items in the latest patch notes. And yeah, we've got a large form running on Nextcloud right now, where you had to literally go edit the PHP code of the form application so that people could use Google Translate on it. Yep, I made a 5-character change to the code of Nextcloud to allow me to translate it. It was silly. There will likely be some performance items that I can do, but for the most part, it's going to be a Fruxus plate thing. I don't really know how that's going to transit or happen as the team grows or as the product grows. I just it is what it is, right? It's a big slog, but I just do it. Chundlek says, are context menus generated by the user or the host? Not quite sure. I think the user. Can world limit generation of context menus? I think if you go into the common avatar builder, there's a checkbox for turning off context menus, and they aren't. If you turn that off, they won't generate or something. I'd have to double check. Code 807 asks, is there an easy accessible link to the World Collision Setup tutorial? Froppy linked that one there. Stop users falling from the floor. Professor Day says, any chance for an easier way to group multiple objects? Can be a real challenge to clean up objects one by one over several inspectors, especially with duplicated geometry. You should be able to use the multi-select that the dev tool has. I don't actually know if that works, but if you set it to multi and then you select a bunch of things and then do the destroy menu, I think that works. I don't understand. There we go. Yeah. Try that out. Earthmark says, to add on to this, there is an app to read chat messages, but it's not first-party Resonant. I don't know if it's OAuth-based or it's taking the full login tokens. It is username password-based and converts that into a login token. OAuth would probably be a good approach there, but then they would need to do their own account system, unless they want to do a local-only OAuth thing. I don't know the plans of that third-party app, but yeah, if we had a more open OAuth, maybe they'd use it. I'm a web developer by experience and industry experience, etc. So I'm itching to get back over into there, but a lot of the web development stuff, it just isn't a priority. There was an update, I want to say last week or the week before, where I blanked out the password change forum form on account.resonite.com. We don't know how people are getting there, but there's the account.resonite.com website, and that's mostly used for OAuth and SAML stuff right now. But it had a change password form on it that just didn't work. And every so often we get a ticket there. And I'm just what if I just comment out, put a paragraph in, yo, that don't work, man. So that's good. Spec says, I know security guarantees are limited, but do you personally feel comfortable with a value field in user space holding an API key with curated permissions to access the service? No, I wouldn't be happy about that. What we need is some sort of system, and I don't want to call this a system because then people go well, Prime talked about the system 3 office hours ago and it doesn't exist yet. But there'll be some sort of system where you don't have any access to the token, but it gets passed through. Look into the way that secret managers work and things like Docker with Docker secrets or Azure with Azure Key. Azure keeps renaming itself. I think even Azure isn't Azure anymore. It's got a name beginning with E or something. I don't know. But look into how those work and how credentials work in sort of systems like that, GitHub Actions, Docker, Azure, Google Cloud Platform, AWS, etc. Look into how all of those work. That's how you should be doing it. And that just requires us to have a system there where there is a way to make it so that it isn't accessible to anyone without some sort of guidance. Something that's more down to earth that might help for those people who don't know all those fancy buzzwords I just said is if you look at the custom join verifier stuff, see how secure that is and how deliberate you have to be to set that up. That's what we would need for something like an API key. Aurelia, who is Ravenu, welcome to Resonite. Hope you're having fun. Was wondering if there's currently support rigging model bones in game. No. You can't rig them from a skinned mesh point of view, weight painting and stuff like that. You can, however, make avatars entirely in game. Using meshes and linking those together with various mathematics to kind of make your own bone system. If you're interested in that, the people who are here that know who I'm about to refer to are great. Go ahead and find RustyBot or any of the other Neilanders because they really like that stuff and they'll be able to sort of show you how to do it. That usually is only for avatars that have a certain look and feel. Like if you want like a humanoid that's got humanoid attributes, then you probably want a skin mesh renderer, but you could also go with the custom rail. Zenry says, Nextcloud mentioned Chad move. It's kind of difficult to not mention it when like our survey's running on it. So there we go. Eunice says, a survey. I need you to do me one big favor, and that's read every announcement in the announcements channel, and then you'll keep up to date. We have stuck that survey link everywhere. So the announcements channel, take a look. Exa says, this prime nextcloud.com. Yep, that's Nextcloud. Let's see what we got going on. All right, more questions. Here we go. A bunch of stuff about Nextcloud. Cool. Professor Day says, any plans for clearer storage usage info? I've been stuck with my limit occasionally, but it's a nightmare figuring out why, since it seems to be counting someone else's work, for example. The request storage report thing, those commands that send you a storage report to your email, etc., those could eventually be tied into the game, and then we could give you like a pie chart or a drill down to sort of figure out where that storage is. Like, that data exists. The only way we're able to surface that data right now is via that report that goes to email, but we could easily take that data and plug it into some UI within Resonite. We just haven't had a chance to do that yet, or hasn't been prioritized yet. That could be something that we do, and then it might be better there. That will probably be included in the inventory rework. If there's someone that wants to be helpful and link the inventory rework GitHub issue, that'd be fantastic. Exa says, the links being x.resonite.com or x.yellowdogman.com makes it seem more professional. It is more professional. It's quite professional there. There is kind of like a weird dividing line between like resonite.com and yellowdogman.com, but it's just the way things are set up. Like, it doesn't really matter. Like, the survey could be on files.resonite.com, but it doesn't really matter. Mr. Awesome Tacular says, what would be the biggest hurdle of implementing a search feature for Protoflux nodes? Time. Like, 99% of the time, the reason why like certain stuff isn't being developed on Resonite is time. We are a very, very small team. And then within that small team, there are even less people who have the technical know-how to actually edit Resonite, like edit the code behind Resonite. I'm sure those who can't would try if they could, or they could find time to learn, or et cetera, stuff like that. But it's just like a fact of it. Like, we are like so underwater right now. I could do like 20 GitHub issues today, and there's just 20 more waiting for me tomorrow. Like, none of the stuff like is hard. There are hard problems to solve, but they're not like impossible problems. That's the clear thing to know. Like, we're not trying to do cold fusion here. It's like basically throwing data onto UI in various locations until it does what we want it to do. It's possible. It just takes time. Nuka says, there's a way to stop users with builder roles messing with parts of the world. What's a good way to at least make the worst things harder? Someone made the avatar station grabbable today and moved it out from under and had to reposition it manually. I would go into the permissions setup and I would restrict the grabbable setter tool and the collider setter tool. You can, like, builder doesn't mean builder. It just means like a permission set, right? And so you can edit that permission set. And so you can remove those two tools, add those to the blacklist, and then they won't be able to do it. Now, could someone still inspect the ground and set it to grabbable and move it? Yes, but that's like an order of magnitude higher than just shooting it with the grabbable setter tip. For an avatar setup location, I don't think there's anything that you would need to use the grabbable setter tip on. And you can just inspect it and check the grabbable anyway. Look into the block components as well. Like, just search for like block on the component list or whatever, and you'll see that there's like grab block, duplicate block, destroy block, stuff like that. Material apply policy as well. For a world, particularly like avatar station, I would recommend that the everything that is not an avatar has a material apply policy on it. And that way they won't be able to, you know, paint their texture all over the wall or whatever. You can also, thanks to Prime many months ago, you can add material apply policy to the skybox slot, and it prevents people from changing the skybox. JibForge gives me some SAML stuff. Yeah, I understand all of the words that you provided in there. I don't understand like the technical differences. For context, there's a printed version of the OAuth specification on my bookshelf because like I know it very, very well. But there's not a printed version of the SAML spec, so I need to look in that. Echo says, any status update on the headless doing Steam, Gigglebox, and Discord thing? You'd have to link me a GitHub issue and take a look. Do you remember that my project board is as up to date as I can make it? And so you'll see stuff moving to the right there. I think I've got the Discord one in the in progress column. There's an issue with Discord in the, like, if you restart it, and sometimes that's when you update it. You know, when it's got like the update icon and you randomly push it when you're in a voice call just because you're like ADHD pushing it, and then you disconnect from the voice call and you're like, oh, duh, of course. but when you restart, Discord, I think something gets like disconnected, etc. So I need to look into that. It's basically like when Discord restarts, we can detect it and then reinitialize Discord. Nuka says the multi-select does not allow you to multi-destroy. Interesting. I thought it did. I don't really know what the multi-select does then. Is there a comparant for parenting things under a slot with a collider? Yeah, you can look at grabbable parenter, grabbable receiver surface. The collision protoflux nodes would allow you to do that as well. There's one more I'm trying to think of. Character parenter, but that's more for users. The grabbable parenter does, it looks like really damaging because it just like slurps things in like a big vacuum. Once you understand it, it's really useful. That's it, Svekan, thank you. Yeah, they renamed Active Directory to Entra. It's like Azure Entra. It's for like ID, directory, Active Directory, stuff like that. I don't want to say this because like it's a, you know, touchy subject, but I seem to remember like they wanted to name it Entra because of Web3 or something. I really don't know if that's true, so do look into it. Fwen says, Doggo. Yes, Doggo. It's getting a bit dark. Let me turn on some lights. Sorry, dog. I saw him react. It's like, oh, I'm sorry. But there you go. Propylink, the inventory UI rework. Excellent. Electronus says, so the survey mentions targeting at minimum double performance. What metrics are you going to be looking at to determine that? Not quite sure. We need to get into it and take a look. Fruits might have some different stuff there. But yeah, double performance would be good. One of the ones I'm interested in is like time to first meaningful interaction, which is one that like you should all be, like if you're working on a product anywhere, like track it. Time to first meaningful interaction. So in Resonite, the first meaningful interaction might be joining a world or maybe logging in or something like that. Like what is the time it takes till you get to there and how can we monitor that? But that's less performance. That's more like performance plus user journey. The journey through a user's, like user's journey through the product. Aurelia says, have you considered adding a UI element to show the file size of an asset when you go to save it? That'll be covered in the sort of inventory UI rework area, where we sort of have another area to look at that. Is there any way to prevent users from affecting the world with flux built into their avatars, aside from disabling custom avatars? No, but there is a GitHub issue, which Froppy will link, hopefully. Not to put you on the spot there, but you have been very good at linking, called like hard permissions, and that might help there. Jack says, hey, Prime, always miss these because it's like 1:22 a.m. but now I've actually caught it for once. I appreciate your work. Thanks for doing cool stuff. Thank you. Fruxius has answered for the metrics that we're going to look at for the performance update. So average frame rate, frame time. Yeah, he talks about what I was talking about there, which is like we want Resonite to feel overall better and smoother, which is hard to define with numbers, but gives us flexibility on the specifics of the technical approach. Like if the frame rate doubles, but it jitters a lot, it will feel less smooth. The goal being that it feels smoother, we'll focus on that. We don't want to be, well, technically, we increase the numbers, but we want the subjective experience to be better all overall, so we don't get too bogged down with specific numbers or metrics. They just help us. Yeah, so for example, let's say Fruits discovers or has an inkling that there might be a problem with a particular component. I don't want to name any, so we'll just call it the cheese component. He might set up some code that will, when his local copy of Resonite launches, it goes straight into an empty world and attaches like 500,000 cheese components. And then we can look at the frame time and various other metrics and be like, oh yeah, actually cheese is very heavy. And then you can tweak cheese until the frame time goes down and you're like, great, okay, cool. But then you run the normal build again and you're like, well, it still kind of doesn't feel smooth. So was that time we spent on the cheese component worth it? I don't know. Exo's linked destroy block, material apply policy, and grab block. Yes, those are great. There's also like duplicate block. And destroy block are really great for games, and I wish more people would do them. Like, for example, let's say you've got like a health pack in a game that you need to pick up and regain some health. Most games I've seen don't add destroy block or duplicate block on those. So I can go to the health pickup, pick it up, duplicate it till I have 100 health up pickups, and then I'm done. Froppy has linked the hard permission system. Excellent. Dirty says, new here, I'm trying to make an avatar. Giving problem with bones, never no experience in 3D, stroke VR, any good guides? There's the humanoid IK rig requirements guide, which I wrote a long time ago. It's very useful, but it's a lot of technical information. I don't really know what you are making in terms of an avatar. If you're starting from scratch, so if you're in Blender and you're dragging around like primitives or sculpting or anything like that, I can't really help you there. You'd need to go to YouTube or Google, find some tutorials there. Once you get the model done in Blender, the steps where you take it from Blender to Resonite are the stuff that we can help you out with. We can help you out with the whole thing. It's just like a little bit easier to do it once we've got a working avatar. If you can extract, like if you can, what's the word? If you can add information to your question, I might be able to help you out more. Aurelius says, are there plans to build to add a built-in node component searcher? Yes, we want to completely overhaul the component attacher and the node attacher, and they actually might be two different pieces of UI eventually. Right now they are technically the same piece of UI, and they're just sort of fast. It was like as fast as we could do that, right? We haven't really even thought about it. We want to make that better for everyone. Nuki gave a list of things that they've done to the avatar station. Those all seem good. I don't have any more recommendations. Other people might, though. Exus says, I found an item that will probably turn on and off the world light. Is this something I should report to moderation? It's really tricky when it comes to sort of like malicious stuff, because like I could open up a world and make I can make anything malicious, right? The key thing for moderation is it a person that's making it it's making the malicious activity. So if someone had that item and they were going around worlds like spamming lights on and off, that's a moderation matter. Is it also a security matter? No, because turning lights on and off is like, it's part of the game. Jack says, we added destroy and duplicate blocks to items in Cloudscape Harvest. It worked for about as long as it took users to figure out they can dupe stuff by saving it to inventory and spawning it again. Joke's on them, because that corrupts the entity index and breaks the game. Yeah, that's another thing as well, like, there's always going to be a way to cheat game maps like that. It's just like those can make it a little bit more difficult. But when people start cheating to that level, it's like, ah, oh, whatever, right? It's the same thing. Like if you make a parkour map and people come in with like double jump on their avatars, it's like, could you just not, right? There's no like easy way to block that. But if it's a parkour map, it'll just be like, could you just not? Exus says, is there no save block component? There is no save block component. You can prevent saving on the permissions level, but that would usually restrict the permissions down to sort of non-builder. So if you're a non-builder in a world, then you also wouldn't be able to save stuff. With the nature of the MMC and the nature of Cloudscape Harvest, they wanted it to be open so that you could poke around, and that means like you can't really restrict that down a bit. Nuki says, there is an issue of new users spawning in, then being confused as why they can't move while the world is loading. There is a box collider. Yeah, just put up a sign or something. You can even detect that they haven't landed yet, because what happens when they spawn in is like they'll float above the spawn point and gravity won't kick in until the box collider is like loaded, if you've got an initialization collider route. And so you might be able to take a look at like is user on ground or something like that and detect that they haven't, like that hasn't happened, and then display something based on that. Jack says, one important suggestion, don't worry about people cheating. If they cheat and have fun, it's their way of enjoying the game you created. Absolutely, yeah. Some of those block components, though, they're great for sort of like preventing accidental cheating or preventing sort of like soft locking and stuff like that. For example, destroy block would be great on, say, a key. Let's say you've got a puzzle game, there's a key that needs to unlock a door. You don't want people to either accidentally duplicate it, because then you might have one key that works and one key that doesn't. So you use duplicate block. You don't want people destroying it, because then they can't unlock the door with a key. So you use destroy block on it. We are at 1:30 now, so no more questions past the people that are currently typing. So Day, Electronus, you can ask a question, no more questions past that. Fruk says there's social games like Blood on the Clock Tower. There's technically no way to prevent people from actually cheating. Yeah, you could, like for Blood on the Clock Tower, you're meant to sort of like keep things to yourself, be a bit sort of secretive about information that you have, but you could literally just like DM that information around. Dirty says, got a few models online, they're rigged, but when I port the mover, tells me missing bones or some work, but the mesh is distorted bad. I've tried to rename the bones with poor results. So you have to look at the humanoid rig requirements, doobly-doo, wiki page. Electronus asks, so I recently had experienced a bug where a world crashed, but the assets weren't cleaned up, and so it got stuck into a really cool frozen moment where the crashed world was overlaid when I was kicked back to my local world. Are there any bugs that have created neat visuals or cool situations that you've experienced? Yeah, so Business Lawyer, if you know them, this is a long, long time, years and years ago, they had a bug with their microphone where it came out sounding just satanic, right? It was like screeching and like weird noises. It just sounded like he'd opened up a portal to hell and put it inside his microphone. And I was on a map which had a moon on it, and you could walk around the moon with moon-based gravity, but it also meant I couldn't see who was coming. So without my knowledge, Business Law had spawned in, started trying to speak, and was on like the other side of the moon walking around. And so what happened was this dark, shadowy figure walked around the moon while screeching and making horrible noises. And it was very scary. I've got a recording of what they sounded like, but I wish I'd recorded video as well. But that one was fun. I think they just had to like reinstall their like sound drivers or something. So it wasn't anything that Resonite could have fixed, but it was still like really cool. Aurelius, is there a way to pay? Let's try some English again. Is there a way to prevent people from saving a particular asset you've created? Yes, use simple avatar protection there. Do note, simple avatar protection is simple, so in some cases there's going to be things we just can't protect against. I had a couple of those in tickets, security tickets, where people are like, if I do like these five really specific steps, I can break through simple avatar protection. It's like, yep, understood, we know. I think that's it for questions, because I cut people off, so I'm going to go ahead and leave off here. I've got to run, do a few things. I hope you enjoyed time with me. If you've got any more additional questions, the Discord or DM me or whatever you'd like, I'll be back again next week for some more stuff. I've also got an announcement from the content team as well, which I just forgot, which is they're doing office hours. Yes, here we go. So next Wednesday, not this Wednesday, so next Wednesday, so we're looking at, let me look at a calendar here, 5th of June, at 4 p.m., my time, Pacific time, there will be a content team office hours. I'll work with the content team to make sure that they've got it in the event system up top, so you can see it, etc., and that'll be good. I will speak to you guys later. Bye-bye!